Good morning.
Good morning.
It is wonderful to be here with you. And we're going to play Starlight Theater again today. So for March, our theme is play. There's a quote from Martin Buber, who was a mystic theologian type, years and years back. I studied him when I was in ministerial school. So when I saw his name with this, I go, oh yeah, I know him. In fact, I think I did a paper on him. Right now, I should have written my notes down in my notes. So Martin Buber says, play is the exaltation of the possible. Play is the exaltation of the possible. Everything is possible. So why shouldn't we play? We don't want to take anything too seriously, because when we think of serious, we start getting heavy. We stop feeling the lightness of being. And it is to play that we want to experience the lightness of being. Alan Watts was an author, and the body of his work was translating tomes of Buddhist, Taoist, and Hindu philosophy for a Western audience. So he takes all these Eastern religions and philosophies and translates them so the English can read them. So do you think that gives him a good general idea of what's going on? I do. In fact, he thought so too, because he said, this is the real secret of life. Some guy who was, you know, raised in the West, studied all the East, he's finally looking at all these, he's saying, this is the real secret of life. To be completely engaged with what you are doing in the here and now. And instead of calling it work, realize it's play. Nothing is work unless you decide that it is work. Everything that you experience, everything that you do, everything that you create, every service that you give, doesn't have to be hard, and it shouldn't be. It's easy. It's play. It's your calling. What you are doing is what your spirit chooses. May not sound like it. Just, you know, everybody can have all these exceptions. Oh, but, you know, I really don't want to dig ditches. Oh, but you know, I don't really want to drive a cab. Well, maybe it's not about driving the cab. Maybe it's about the relationships with the passengers. And maybe being a cab driver is the vehicle to creating these relationships. We need to look at things differently. All our life, people have had all these boxes and said, okay, this behavior goes in this box. This behavior goes in that box. People who are in this box over here should not even think about moving out of their box and going to some other box. You shouldn't do that. Everybody needs to stay in their box. What I want to know is, who made the boxes? There are no boxes. Not a one. There is not one constraint on any person's thought, on any person's feeling, on any person's emotion. Nobody can make you think anything. Nobody can make you believe anything. Nobody can make you feel anything without your permission. Too many people don't realize that it requires their permission. And they just say, oh, I guess I have to feel like that. I guess I don't have a choice. They told me, everybody that is in my career does that. Therefore, I guess I'm obligated to do that for my career. Nope, you're not. Not at all. However, it's not a good idea to laugh in their face and say, boy, what a fool you are. As you know, it's just not very polite. Besides, it's name calling, and you know, we don't call names, no matter what we think in our minds. Because what we want to do is we want to be impeccable with our word. We want to always tell the truth to ourselves, and about others. Nobody's a fool. Some people can behave in a manner that we think is foolish. That doesn't make them a fool. Fools do not exist except in our own mind. When kids are growing up, if they're lucky, they don't learn about all of the boxes that adults have created. And so since they don't know about the boxes, they don't know that they're supposed to be in one. And so you put a group of kids together in an area and say, okay, a bunch of three-year-olds. Put some three-year-olds together and say, okay, here's the sandbox. Here's some toys. And they will have fun. They will fight. Some of them will play by themselves. Some will play with others. But they will have fun. And they will not notice the color of the skin, whether the child has two moms, two dads, one mom and one dad, or two rabbits. You know, none of that matters. These are kids. These are innocent children experiencing the joy of life and community. We can do that too. I like to think that I do my best to do that. To not see any boxes. To not be confined to any boxes. To not put anybody else in a box. It doesn't work like that. We need to be aware that all people have within them the divine light. And play. Play with it. New thought is a form of practical spirituality, meaning we practice it in our lives. We learn it, we feel it, we grasp it, we practice it, because it is a practical faith. It's a practical way of life. What we do is we understand that there's a power in the universe for good that's greater than we are, and we can use it. And in that practice, in that practicality, we are using the power that is available to everybody. But what does that mean? And how can we use it? Well, Ernest Holmes has something to say about that, as always. Ernest Holmes is the founder of religious science and the author of the Science of Mind textbook. And on page 299, paragraph 4, he writes, to use it means to practice and to put our thoughts, use this power to make our life better and to have those things in form, those demonstrations, the manifestations that support us. So he writes, we mean by demonstration bringing into our experience something that we had not experienced before. Bringing it in as the result of conscious thought. And unless it is possible to do this, our whole science is a mistake and a delusion. He says it right there. Hey, it works. If it doesn't work, we're crazy. But we keep making it work and seeing it work, so maybe we're not crazy. He writes, unless there is a divine principle, universal soul, or subjectivity or medium, which of itself, without any help or assistance, can produce things and will, then there is nothing in this teaching. So he's saying, by our experience, we are proving that there is a divine principle, there is a medium through which to create of its own self. We don't have to go turn the switch on. It's always, always working. The law is always working. And the law always says yes. That's what he says. That's my experience. Now, just to let you know, the law always says yes to your predominant manner of thinking. So it's up to us to monitor our thoughts, to remember what we're thinking about. He goes on, but there is a divine principle, and what it does for us, it must do through us. Our part in the demonstration is to set the word in motion, thus compelling through the law of subjectivity the result or the manifestation. We are always demonstrating, always. It's the law. The law can't say, I'm going to take my lunch break now. I'm going to take my 10-minute, 15-minute break. No, it's always, always functioning. You want to know how you can tell it's functioning? You're breathing. You're breathing air. You're on a planet that's doing a dance around a star or a sun that's doing a dance around something else, that's doing a dance around something else. If for one microsecond any of that stopped, we wouldn't be here. Think about it. It boggles my mind to think, what if we stopped rotating? Whew. That means that all principles, all spiritual, all physical, all metaphysical, all principles, all bets are off. If it stopped of its own accord. And even when we as human beings try to interfere in some natural process, once we stop interfering, it will go back to its stasis. It will go back to its natural state. We have had nuclear spills and leaks and stuff in the nuclear power plants. Given enough time, those areas will revert to what they were before we ever stepped foot on them. Because everything returns to its balance. So consider law and spirit your friends. On page 300, in paragraph 3, Ernest writes, we should approach the law normally and naturally with a sense of ease. There's nothing peculiar or weird about it. It's a natural law working in a normal way and must be thought of in this light. We should come to consider the law and spirit as friends and think of them as such. Think of them as such. The law and the spirit are your friends. Woohoo! So have fun with them. Have absolute fun. Ernest Holmes says, creativity is the play of life upon itself. The play of life upon itself. And of course, playing is, in this way, is called acting. So it's life acting upon itself. And it always will do so because that's nature, that's natural, that's the truth. There's nothing to work with or on except life. So you could think about it like this. Even life plays around and gets very creative in the process. This is the season for nonviolence, and today is the 36th day where we are working with our affirmations and our commitments to nonviolence. So if you will look on your program insert toward the bottom, it says day 36. And I'll say it and then we'll all repeat it together, all right? Today I will strive to learn from my mistakes. Today I will strive to learn from my mistakes. And when I saw that, I thought, well, how can I tie that in with play? And of course, when I ask the question, I get the answer. Spirit goes, well, how can you not? We're going to learn from our mistakes. When we have experienced sadness, that is less than happiness and joy. So we can learn that being sad is not the best state to be in, because happiness and joy are certainly greater. And it takes a lot of effort to maintain sadness in a joyful life. Here's something else we can learn. Anger hurts. Yeah, it does. It hurts physically, emotionally. It hurts my digestion. It hurts my heart. Forgiveness yields peace. So when we let go of the anger, and I talked about this last week, we let go of the anger, we are lighter beings with a higher frequency of energy because we stopped hanging on to the anchor of anger. Reverend Mark read a quote this morning that is completely appropriate to this. It is from Thich Nhat Hanh. And the quote is, as long as fear is still in you, your happiness cannot be perfect. If you want to know more about anger, forgiveness, these kinds of things, go to our website and listen to our podcast from last week, Ultimate Fear Buster. It was a pretty awesome talk, if I do say so myself. So are you all with me so far? All right, are you ready for an affirmation? Yeah, yeah. Okay, so place your hand over your heart and repeat after me. Today.
Today.
The world is my playground.
The world is my playground.
The law and spirit are my friends.
The law and spirit are my friends.
I am having fun with the divine.
And so it is.
So simply breathe. Look what you have claimed. And it's true, the world is your playground. Everything is available to you and for you. So I mentioned that today is New Thought Day. New Thought Day is the first Sunday in March, and this is the 10th annual New Thought Day. So I want to share a few things about it. But first, let's all say, Happy New Thought Day!
Happy New Thought Day!
Yay! The first worldwide New Thought Day was initiated 9 years ago by my dear friends and colleagues, Dr. Stephen and Abigail Albert. They're a husband and wife team that are the founders of the All Faith Center in Poway, California. And it was decided that the first Sunday of March each year would be in recognition of the New Thought movement. I actually suggested that date so New Thought Day wouldn't conflict with all the other surrounding holidays, you know, the end of January through November, December, January, February, March. So it had to be somewhere between the end of February and St. Patrick's Day. So I thought, how about the first Sunday? And everybody said, wow, great idea. So here we have it. Reverend John and I were part of the original team working to establish a significant day to celebrate our New Thought faith. San Diego Center for Spiritual Living was blessed and honored to host Dr. Stephen and Abigail Albert for the first annual New Thought Day in 2013. It was quite a celebration. Now, New Thought is bigger than you might think, because New Thought actually is ancient wisdom. There are many different organizations that we call New Thought. There are 13 formally listed, and to some extent, the Baha'i Faith and the Unitarian Universalists, plus countless individual centers and ministries, independent ones from these organizations. Now, some you have heard of, some of these organizations, some you've probably never heard of, but I'll run through just part of the list. Affiliated New Thought Network, ANTIN. Agape International Spiritual Center, Reverend Michael Beckwith. Association for Global New Thought, AGNT, with the Season for Nonviolence. Association of Unity Churches. Unity is New Thought. Centers for Spiritual Living, The Church of Truth, Divine Science, Emerson New Thought Center, ENTC, Hillside International Truth Center, the International New Thought Network, INTN, Global Religious Science Ministries, GRSM. That's just some of them. But it's interesting to note that the very largest New Thought domination in the world is called Seicho no Ie, which in Japanese means the home of infinite life, wisdom, and abundance. And you're thinking, Japan? How did New Thought get into Japan? I told you, ancient wisdom. New Thought is ancient wisdom. This movement, Seicho no Ie, was organized with the help of the Holmes brothers. Ernest Holmes, the founder of the religious science movement, and his older brother, Fenwick Holmes. In the 1950s, Fenwick went to Japan and collaborated with Dr. Masaharu Taniguchi in founding the Seicho no Ie organization. And it's based on Buddhism, Christian, and Shinto faiths, with over 5 million practitioners worldwide and over 500 facilities, mostly located in Japan. And so today, March 6, 2022, we honor and recognize these organizations for their new way of practicing their faith, their new way of understanding the ancient spiritual wisdom of the world. This is a statement on New Thought Day from the press release, the very first press release that was issued by our center in 2013. New Thought Day is designed to remember the legacy of New Thought. The New Thought movement and philosophy of life is dedicated to the spiritual awakening of individuals and compassionate activism on world issues. Not politics, but truly recognizing the oneness of every person, the divine source in all. And when we recognize the divine source in all, we don't get around to playing politics. Remember that politics has winners and losers. Politics has separated sides. We don't separate. We see all as the divine. And so there's the conflict between Russia and the Ukraine going on right now in the world. Is Russia bad? Is Ukraine bad? What we need to focus on is, no matter what they're doing, there are people hurting. There are people being killed. So as the politicians negotiate for treaties and for ceasefires and for ceasing the violence, which I really want to happen, especially during the season for nonviolence. I think it's just very rude of them to start a war during the season for nonviolence. What we need to remember is, doesn't matter when we're focusing on the individuals who need our compassion, who need our love, who need our support. Let the other people in the other echelons come up with their negotiations, but let us hold in prayer that there is divine wisdom at play in all of this. Something's going on in all of this, and God knows what it is. And God has the wisdom. All of these people, if we pray for the wisdom of the one mind to be within them, there will be a solution that everyone can live with. That's what I want. Peace on earth. Goodwill toward men and women and children, and whatever ethnic group they are, whatever nation they're from. I want peace. Because when you have peace, you can be happy, you can play, you can be joyful. Fear and being scared of what's going on in our world is not doing anybody any good. We can say, yes, I acknowledge there is a war. Yes, I acknowledge people are dying. No, I don't have to accept that. I can accept the reality that God is at play in here somewhere. I may not see it. I may not know it. In fact, I'm pretty sure I don't see it or know it. Because I'm thinking with my logical mind. I'm thinking, what would possess someone to do what they did? What would drive someone to do whatever it is they do? Whether it's, steal a candy bar from a store or start a world war. There's something within them that they think justifies what they're doing. That doesn't mean it justifies it. It means they think it does. And so what we do with New Thought, we are dedicated to the spiritual awakening of individuals and compassionate activism on world issues. So we are working with helping the refugees. New Thought honors and respects all people of all faiths who believe spiritual equality and human rights belong to everyone. Does that mean that we don't honor or respect people who don't believe that others have human rights? Well, not exactly. What it means is we withhold judgment. We recognize, okay, that is not behavior I approve of within myself, but I can recognize that it's behavior. And so all I have to do is remember to give my love and my support to those that I can and pray for those who do not feel the way I feel. Sounds kind of egotistical. If you don't feel like I do, I'm going to pray for you. Well, actually, that's a good thing. Because when we pray for others, we are also praying for ourselves. When we are seeking and knowing enlightenment for others, we are also receiving that enlightenment. So sure, get annoyed with somebody, pray for them. Pray for their highest good, their highest and greatest good. And yours will come too. New Thought is more than a century old, and it promotes health and wellness in all aspects of living. It embraces positive thinking, listening to one's inner voice, affirmative prayer, meditation, and other ways of realizing the presence of God within. And so on this 10th annual New Thought Day, I will share with you the roots of New Thought. Would you like that? All right. Before I get into all of that, I would like to ask us to repeat something else. Now, this was one of Reverend Mark's wonderful quotes for this morning from Richer Living with Ernest Holmes and Raymond Charles Barker. So please place your hand over your heart and repeat after me. Today I accept the divine promises. I accept them with the simplicity of a child. With the joy of one who receives his good. In grateful acknowledgement of the all-sustaining beauty. And so it is. Wow. So the world is your playground. Law and spirit are your friends. You've accepted these divine promises, and you are having fun with the divine, with the joy of a child. Aren't you amazing? Yay! The family tree of religion and spirituality are far and wide, and its roots run deep into the human psyche. The roots of New Thought in particular are intertwined with many cultures and faiths and have within it what is known as the golden thread. This golden thread is those aspects that are common to all belief systems. And these include love, light, truth, wholeness, and compassion. This is similar to the roots of a tree. The New Thought Movement is a network of life-serving concepts and organizations that reach out to provide comfort for those searching for a new meaning in life. It's been said that for every foot a giant redwood grows tall, its roots grow 3 more feet out until it's fully entwined with the others in the forest to ensure stability and strength. This lesson about New Thought today is intended to give you that visual of how our New Thought movement is making a difference in the world today. The history of religion has been the never-ending story of humanity's upward climb. Climbing upward to God and the continuous quest to understand the vast and mysterious universe that we live in. Every culture and society on planet Earth since the beginning of time has been seeking divine truth in its search for something greater than itself. The concept of new thought, ancient wisdom, has been with us ever since man realized that he was a thinking being, able to contemplate his own awareness. The great French philosopher, mathematician, and physicist René Descartes said it best when he wrote, "I think, therefore I am. I think, therefore I exist." And once that realization of self took over in the 17th century, at that point, the New Thought philosophy once again merged with the ancient consciousness of the Mayans, the Hopi Indians, the mystery schools of Egypt, and even just as recently as the 1960s, the culture of the Chariots of the Gods, made popular by author and archaeologist Eric von Däniken. So in case you haven't noticed by now, history tends to repeat itself. And that which has been forgotten once again becomes new. Or does it? There is nothing that has not ever existed before. Parse that sentence. There is nothing new in the world but a continued repetition of the same things that appear to be new. In truth, there really isn't anything new under the sun. How's that for a new thought? Well, that isn't even a new thought. That is something from the ancient wisdom of the Bible. In the Holy Scriptures, it's written in the book Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, that reads, "What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which we can say, 'Look, this is something new'? It was already here long time ago. It was here before our time. There is nothing new under the sun." And that's the essence of today's New Thought Day. The phrase commonly used today, "There is nothing new under the sun," is one of the roots of New Thought, which has its origins in the ancient wisdom of the Bible. Play is the exaltation of the possible. Martin Buber. Such magnificence, fun, play, infinite joy are already yours. Everything is possible. Now, in the grand scheme of things, this, our center, was founded 21 years ago. So our center is just a drop in the ocean of new thought. Yet we all know the ocean is fully present in each drop. And so we here are embodying, teaching, practicing new thought through the science of mind, philosophy, faith, and way of life. So thank you. I love you. Thank you for your time and your attention. Happy New Thought Day. Namaste.